It's Here and Now. There's been quite a spotlight this week on sexual assault in the military. Today, opening statements began in the case of the most senior member of the U.S. military ever to face trial on sexual assault charges, Brigadier General Jeffrey Sinclair, who pled guilty yesterday to having improper relations with two female Army officers and committing the military crime of adultery with a third. And he still faces other charges of forced sexual relations, charges that could put him in prison for life. The Army is also investigating its top sex crimes prosecutor for allegedly groping a female lawyer at a sexual assault conference 3 years ago. And of course, Congress is tussling over how to change the way the military handles sexual assault cases. Eugene Fidel teaches military justice at Yale Law School. He's co-founder of the National Institute of Military Justice. Professor Gene, what do you make of this confluence of events?
It's sort of like a perfect storm in the sense that you've got a very high-profile case, obviously the case of Brigadier General Sinclair, going on at the same time that Congress has had its hands full this week debating the bill proposed by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and about to vote on a bill introduced by Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri. And you've got military lawyers and observers of the scene scratching their heads as to how this is all going to settle down and when.
Well, remind us, you mentioned the two bills that are in Congress. A lot of people scratching their heads as to why Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, seen as a progressive, is not going along with New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand's bill. Remind us of the differentiation and how you see it.
Well, the bills are not actually alternative. Senator Gillibrand's bill, which had a lot of support, she had 55 votes in favor of it, would have made a significant change in the military justice system. It would have taken the commander out of the driver's seat, which is to say the power to decide who gets sent to trial for what, and given that authority to lawyers outside the chain of command. That's a change that has been made by the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Israel, South Africa, and a number of other countries.
We should say critics of the system as it exists now say that having a senior military commander having the last say on who gets prosecuted has meant that a lot of people who should have been prosecuted haven't been, that it's like asking a female member of the military to go report to her father something that her brother has done, that it puts a woman in the military in a terrible position to go to a senior military commander as opposed to somebody outside of the chain of command.
Well, that is a real problem. And one of the things that Senator Gillibrand's bill tried to do was at least get a complaint window that is staffed by lawyers rather than commanders, in the hope that it will make it that much easier for victims of crime to come forward and not feel that they have to take on City Hall, but they're simply talking to somebody like a district attorney who has the power to charge and take people to trial.
What about Senator Claire McCaskill's bill?
Senator McCaskill's bill does not make that significant change, but it makes a number of other changes, some of which are quite worthwhile. For example, many military justice experts have been concerned about something called the good soldier defense that permits GIs who are accused of crime to simply put their service record into evidence and show that they're good soldiers, and therefore that raises reasonable doubt. That's a rule that gives an advantage to people who have been in the service somewhat longer than many crime victims.
But Senator Claire McCaskill's bill does set up a civilian review process if a prosecutor and a commander disagree on whether to press charges in a sexual assault case.
That's true, but at the end of the day, it's going to be command rather than lawyers who have their finger on the trigger. And that is a preservation of part of our institutional structure that we ought to get rid of.
Well, but some people feel that that's the way it should be, as you well know. They include Senator Lindsey Graham. And yesterday he blasted potential presidential candidates from the Republican Party who voted for Kirsten Gillibrand's bill, which again would have removed the military commander from the decision-making here. They included Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. They all supported this legislation to take the military sexual assault cases outside the chain of a command. And here's what he had to say about that.
People wanting to run for president on our side, I will remind you of this vote. If you want to be commander-in-chief, you told me a lot today about who you are as commander-in-chief candidate. You were willing to fire every commander in the military for reasons I don't quite understand.
Gene Fidel, right now, Kirsten Gillibrand's bill is dead in the water. Senator Claire McCaskill's is going to be going forward. The Senate will take it up next week. Do you think, hearing Lindsey Graham's passion there, it's just too tender a political topic to ever pass?
I wouldn't take Lindsey Graham's word as the last authority on this. I think that the senators get elected to go to Washington to exercise their best judgment, and 55 out of 100 thought that Senator Gillibrand's bill made good policy. I think time is on Senator Gillibrand's side on this. Look, 240 years ago this month, George III signed Articles of War, which established the basis for our current command-centric system, where commanders decide who gets sent to a court-martial. It's time to push that off the edge. We've got to get into the 21st century. And one of the things that's troubled me about the Sinclair case is that we have a conflict between the 21st century ethical considerations that the chief prosecutor in the case, who is now gone from the case, felt constrained to abide by, and an 18th century command-driven system. We've got to reconcile that, and I think the only way we can reconcile it is by recognizing that we live in the 21st century, not the 18th.
What else do you want us to know here, Gene?
This whole subject is driving military lawyers crazy. If you read the blogs, people are unhappy about everything, and above all, they're unhappy about Congress. You've seen Congress withhold promotions from commanding officers, commanding generals, who thought they were doing the right thing, for better or worse. You've seen an atmosphere that has been highly charged, thanks to comments by the President of the United States and other senior officials, including the Commandant of the Marine Corps. It's very difficult to me to see how a commander, for example, can think straight given the highly charged political climate. And when Senator Lindsey Graham makes the kinds of comments that he makes, and when the members of the U.S. Senate are looking at body counts in terms of how many cases can be brought to trial, how many convictions there can be, how many people are going to get dishonorable discharges, I think it's very tough on the uniform lawyers out there on the firing line who have to prosecute and defend these cases to figure out which way is up.
Eugene Fidel, he teaches military justice at Yale Law School. He's also a co-founder and former president of the National Institute of Military Justice. Gene, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
So your thoughts, take the military commanders out of the decision-making in the sexual assault cases in the military, leave them in, but bring in more of an appeals process. Let us know your thoughts at hearnow.org.